Hey there, it's Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. With a brief hiatus this week, we've got something unique in store. Behind the Table is back on Monday, but today, since we're on break, we have a preview of the new Good Morning America podcast, Pop Culture Moms. Each week on the show, Andy, Sabrina, and a celebrity guest share their experiences navigating parenthood and reflect on the lessons they've learned from the moms they've watched on TV and in film. Today, we bring you their episode featuring journalist and former MTV News correspondent turned podcast host, Suchin Pak. If you like it, click the link in our episode description for more Pop Culture Moms or search for the show and follow along wherever you're listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We've been best friends for 20 years, and we have two very important things in common.
We're both mothers to toddlers, and we both love pop culture.
Basically, we've dedicated the best years of our lives to watching TV and movies.
Oh, absolutely. So we thought, why not bring parenting and pop culture together in a podcast?
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, this is Pop Culture Moms, a show where we put our obsession to work and figure out motherhood by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of pop culture about the fictional moms we love to watch and what they can teach us about parenthood. Oh, hi, honey.
Oh, hi.
Now, we both saw the Oscar-winning movie Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. I loved it.
I loved it.
By the way, do you remember what your main comment to me after you saw the movie was?
No.
You said, I know it would bring you so much comfort if the universe was actually a giant everything bagel.
But don't you think it would?
Oh, it absolutely would. That is my order, and everything
That's
bagel.
What I thought. That's yeah. What I thought. I said she would do this exact thing. She would turn the universe into an everything bagel. Okay, bagels aside, though, this movie resonated with us on many levels. To give a brief summary that will really not do justice to the movie at all, Evelyn is an overworked small business owner being audited by the IRS. On top of that, her elderly father needs her care and attention, but is also critical of her and the life that she's made for herself as a Chinese immigrant in the U.S. Now, to make matters even worse, her husband is trying to serve her divorce papers. But what's really at the heart of the movie is Evelyn's relationship with her daughter, Joy. Joy just wants to be accepted and loved by Evelyn.
I was just looking for someone who could see what I see. Feel what I feel.
And Evelyn truly can't seem to figure out how to do that. So she ends up traveling through the multiverse. She ends up having hot dogs as fingers at one point. And finally, she reconnects and reconciles with Joy in this beautiful, tear-jerking scene.
No matter what, I still want to be here with you. I will always, always want to be here with you.
Now, let me pause here for a second to let the listener know that after Sabrina watched the movie, she was really taken by one aspect and couldn't let it go. Do you remember what you said to me?
Well, this I do remember, and I'll never forget it.
That's right. That's right. It wasn't about the mother-daughter of it all. It wasn't about the multiverse. It was when Evelyn's fingers turned to hot dogs, why aren't the hot dogs cooked?
I mean, it's an excellent question. I must compliment myself. They're so upset. They're so clearly raw hot dogs just flopping around all over the place. And I just think, like, any variation of cooked would have been better than
the raw.
Yeah,
give them structural integrity.
Yeah, they needed some structural integrity.
I feel like you should try to get word to the directors, Daniels.
It might be worth them recutting the
film. Like, hey, we all have blind spots. You guys missed a big opportunity here. But really, back to the subject. The movie has so many layers. I mean, literally, it is about a multiverse, and there are a ton of themes. And I think that we could probably watch it a million times and find something new, something else that resonates, depending on where we are in our lives. But now I think as moms and as daughters, it's just this relationship between Evelyn and Joy that really captured our attention. Because as daughters, we want to be loved, we want to be accepted. And as moms, we know that we would do absolutely anything for our kids. And we also know that all kinds of stresses and traumas and family histories are part of how we parent. Our guest today has thought a lot about these generational complexities and has navigated being an immigrant, a parent, and a caretaker to her own parents. She's the brilliant and iconic Soo Chin Pak. She's a veteran journalist, maybe best known for being the first Asian American reporter for MTV News, and she currently hosts the very popular podcast, Add to Cart, all about consumerism. We'll dive in with Soo Chin after a quick break.
Hi, I'm Frances Fry.
And I'm Ann Morris.
And we are the hosts of a new TED podcast called Fixable.
We've helped leaders at some of the world's most competitive companies solve all kinds of problems.
On our show, we'll pull back the curtain and give you the type of honest, unfiltered advice we usually reserve for top executives.
Maybe you have a coworker with boundary issues, or you want to know how to inspire and motivate your team.
Give us a call, and we'll help you solve the problems you're stuck on.
Find Fixable wherever you listen.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit. I am so thrilled to have you here. Sabrina and I just, we came of age in a time when you just started at MTV. And so to us, like, I would just say journalist of a generation.
Listen, it's not every day that an old lady gets remembered for, it feels like a different person and a different life.
Yeah, does it feel like that? Does it feel like so long ago?
Oh, it's like... it's like out of body. Like, I don't even relate to it. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's like, yes, that's true. I had a very specific experience at MTV, but I think that's true a lot of times before and after kids. Don't you feel that way? I mean, like, I don't think it's MTV necessarily. I just think that, like, it's a completely physically, emotionally, psychic. I'm a completely different person, and I can appreciate and look at this other person that existed decades ago. But
100%. You know, we want to talk about if there are any moms that maybe you see in pop culture that you resonate with.
Oh, God. Being a Korean American immigrant, this is it's a very short, if not pretty empty list. I think we have one version of what, like, an Asian mother looks like. And I think we've gotten better at telling a more complete picture, but I think it still is this tiger mom, you know, has really high expectations, shows very little emotion, is often quite angry. And that I do relate to in a lot of ways. But obviously, that's just, you know, a small slice of the person that I am. And so I don't know that I've ever seen like a full depiction. I was thinking about Crazy Rich Asians, and I was thinking about Turning Red, which maybe is like the closest for me. And that's hilarious that it's an animated, you know, film for kids. Obviously, Everything Everywhere, I think, is probably the most modern version of this Tiger Mom, I think, that we've seen in recent years. But you know what? Another one came up was Beef.
Did you guys see Beef? I loved Beef. What did you think of it?
I loved it. Phenomenal. And for those that haven't seen it, you know, Beef with starring Ali Wong and Steven Yeun is ostensibly a story about repressed anger.
I have a very full life that I'd love to get back to. I'm going to find you and take what little you have.
So it's not necessarily an Asian story, but I just really resonated with this concept of like where all this rage comes from as a mom. And I think as, you know, I joke, my Korean friends and I joke that we have Krage, which is Korean rage. Like, it's such a common thing.
Yeah. You know? I love that.
And it's like, where does this Krage come from? And so I've just been kind of obsessed about this emotion of rage and motherhood. So for me, strangely, even though Beef isn't about motherhood, felt like when I saw that, I was like, whoa, that is the closest reflection that I've ever seen of myself.
What is your mom like?
Well, it's a very, I don't know if anyone has ever asked me that question.
It's the hardest question in the world. Like, don't ask me. No, don't ask me after this.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
I have no idea.
Yeah, just say it in two sentences. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she holds herself very close to the vest. You know, she's not like an emotional person per se. But my mom, I would classify her as an orphan. Like, she lost her father when she was very young. And then she lost her mother probably in middle school or high school. And so that also has shaped her experience, I think, as a person, but also as a parent. Like, because my mother lost her parents at such a young age, she is just afraid of everything. I mean, because the worst thing happened to her. I look back now at my mother and why she never let me go to the mall, you know, go to prom. I went to college and my parents moved into the college town so I could live in their apartment and not in the dorms.
Like, are you serious?
Yes. Now, when I look at it through the lens of what is the passed down trauma that she carries with her from her parents, is that the worst thing that could ever happen to a child happened to her twice. So you're like, well, I'm just going to go to the mall. What's the worst that can happen, Mom? And she's like, you want to know the worst? Everyone is dead. So, no, you can't go to Wet Seal.
Oh, what?
She was doing you a favor, honestly. Yeah, literally. We didn't need to go to Wet Seal.
But yeah, she's like also like the dragon who lost her fire. I think she's finally in that mode of like not having to survive, you know, and put food on the table and hold it all together, which was totally her. She's a very different person than when I grew up with her, which was like just on my ass 24/7, you know. Now it's just like, you know, like, oh, hey, I just stopped by. You know, she's a little confused, not sure what. You know, she's hard to pin down, and it's different.
Your parents immigrated from South Korea when you were a kid. So do you think that made it more complex for them raising you here?
I mean, they still don't speak English. I mean, they can, I mean, maybe get by on some, like, real basic stuff if, like, they had to, like, concentrate and, like, really get to it. And they ran a business here and all of that. I'm very limited English, but just kind of getting by. So even on that basic level, on the language level, because I'm not fluent in Korean, because that's not the language that, you know, it was my first language, but I lost that as soon as I went to school. And I think my parents didn't enforce speaking Korean at home because they really needed us to speak English as soon as possible to help them navigate this world. So, you know, losing language, not being able to have like a common language with my parents, I think a lot of immigrant kids go through this experience, is like I just will never know what I've lost.
Because you never had that shared, I guess, foundation of communication, right?
Yeah, and I don't know how my life would have been so different had I been able to, and still able to, communicate with my parents on a much deeper level. Now, I married an American Jewish man. My parents live 4 minutes away. His parents live 10 minutes away. So we're all in Santa Barbara together. And I'm close to his family, and I see how they interact with one another. And I do have to say, I thought it would be way different. I thought if you spoke the language your parents speak, you'd be like Eckhart Tolling it. You know what I mean? Like, let's come in for the Oprah, you know, soulful Sundays. We'll get around the table and really hash it out. And turns out, even if you speak the same language, Thanksgiving is still brutal. And so I am starting to untangle some of these like long-held beliefs about why I can't be closer to my parents. Like, I wonder if part of that is an excuse or a crutch that I use to sort of keep me from being vulnerable with them. But being immigrant is my, like, if I had to like list all the identities, you know, from most important or most prevalent in my life to least, immigrant would be number one. It would be above being a woman. It would be above being Korean, Asian. It would be immigrant, I think. That experience is so just engulfing. Wait, I'm going to name a study that I don't remember the name
okay,
of.
Great.
The result. You guys. Yeah.
That's how the kind we like of studies to roll. I like.
Yeah. Yeah. We like those studies.
Those are my favorite.
Guys, there is a study out there, and I don't know the name of it or the exact results.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
I'm
going to
give
know.
You the gist.
It's all that matters. Really, just the abstract at the top.
And the gist is, I don't even know if they're cows, but I'm going to say they're cows. And they're in a field, and there's like an electric fence. They go to the electric fence, they touch it, they're like, oh, you know, it's electrified. Don't go near that thing.
Okay? Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. And then guess what? Their babies and their babies' babies, you turn off the electricity, and they will never go near that fence.
I know this study.
Yeah.
This is I'm gonna back Suchin up.
Yeah.
That this study happened.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it. I took
but
a lesson.
We get the gist.
No.
Of
yeah.
It may not be a cow. It could be a lamb. It could be rabbits.
Yes.
It could be chickens. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The point is it takes like three generations for this animal population to learn that the fence is safe.
Epigenetics that are passed down.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes,
like there's a knowing in whatever future generation. And that's
That's just passed on. Okay. So so in terms of like generational trauma, like I don't care if you believe in epigenetics, if you believe in past lives, if you believe in quantum physics or aliens. It is real, you know? And so it's funny, you know, when you have kids, you realize, oh, this whole process is about reparenting ourselves. It's not actually about parenting these kids who you just basically need to keep them alive. The rest of it, you're just adding on either, you know, whipped cream or bullshit, right?
I know, like,
they don't need any of it.
So you know? Accurate.
They're just gonna go on their own path.
I think there's so much truth to when you said that when you have children, you're really reparenting yourself. And I'm wondering, what are the ways that you try to reparent yourself?
I mean, ground zero. Like the first, let's say, 2 to 6 years of like my kids, you know, that age was just like sheer, like utter panic, depression, fear, and just like extreme loneliness, you know, where I just felt so disconnected from this version of a mother that I thought that I would become, that I should be, and the experience of the reality which I was living in, which was that I had a difficult time being with my kids, like alone. Like it just made my skin crawl in so many ways. Either I was scared that something would happen, or I just felt like I would do something wrong. Not anything where they would be harmed, but just even like the play part of it.
I think it's like sometimes there's an overload of information about like, oh, well, if you're playing with your children, try not to be the one that leads, directs the play. Like, let them take the lead. So you just kind of can always criticize yourself, yeah, even when you're just trying to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, I didn't even want to play and now I'm doing it wrong.
We fail at playing. Yes. Or like the thought of, you know, you're sitting in at a playground and I'm like, I would rather, I think, shave my head than sit here for one more freaking minute. Sitting at this playground, it's like banging my head against, and I would have these thoughts and I'd come home and I'd be like, what in the world is wrong with this? So I went through a really like pretty dark phase. Like I remember though, I had kind of an awakening at the worst time, which I think a lot of us can relate to, you know, when you're just like, oh, it just can't get worse than this. My daughter was 6 months. My son was 2 years old. And I was in therapy, I was doing past life regression. I was doing chakra healing. I did, Reiki? You know what I mean? I mean, just any kind of healing modality, because I was like, I am broken. And I finally got to a place where I was like, you can love your kids and you can die for your kids. And you can also really hate being a mom. Like those two realities can totally exist. Like you not wanting to, enjoying being a mom does not mean that you don't love your kids and that you wouldn't die for them. So for me, that was like earth-shattering realization that I had come to, that like there are times, and maybe more often than not, where I am miserable does not make me a bad mother.
How did you go from having the idea to like kind of embodying it?
Yeah, I think, therapy. I went to a therapist that I had before I had kids. And then I found a therapist after I had kids. And so I had two therapists. You know, not everyone will have the means or the resources to do that. But my therapist was like, you know, when I was kind of lamenting about all this, she was like, you know, there are going to be phases of your children's lives that just isn't your phase. Like maybe you're just not a baby phase person. You know, like who knows? You may be an amazing, I don't know, middle school person. And I do have to say my kids are now 9 and 11, and this is my age.
Oh, that's great. I love hearing that.
And that was a real wonderful surprise. Because I was just, she said that, and while I was going through it, I was like, oh boy, I hope she's right. I'm not the exception to that rule. You know, you just don't know. And so then when we arrived at about 6, when my daughter was 6 and my son was 8, I was like, oh yeah, I'm here. This is cool. I like this.
It's getting better and better.
It's getting better and better. Like better and better and better and better. And I know teenage years are coming, but I'm so freaking thrilled about where I am now. I can't even imagine, and we'll play this tape back mm-hmm. when we meet again in a few years.
Set a reminder, Sabrina.
Yeah, set a reminder. Let's do it. Set it now. Where even as, you know, difficult as that may be, that I would rather be with someone that I can communicate with 100% than like an adorable squishy baby, which is so squishy and adorable, but was like inside in my brain, I was screaming all the time, like, what do you want?
We'll be back with more Pop Culture Moms after this quick break.
Do you watch Gilmore Girls every fall?
Or every night when you fall asleep?
Us too.
I'm Tara and this is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara. We're the hosts of Gilmore to Say,
the Gilmore Girls podcast.
Gilmore to Say is not a rewatch podcast.
Boy, with the recap podcasts already.
Every Tuesday, we come together to debate the best storylines, offer alternate endings for ones you wish had gone differently, and answer questions like, is Lorelai a good mom?
Is Luke Danes just Emily Gilmore in a baseball cap?
And why does everyone hate Rory Gilmore so much?
Gilmore to Say is a caffeinated love letter to everyone's favorite fictional small town. So grab a cup of coffee and get comfortable, because we always have more to say. 25 years ago, Carrie Bradshaw started posing a slew of honest, provocative, relatable questions in her fictional column, Sex in the City. And just like her, the singles and hopeless romantics of New York still want to know, can you change a man? What constitutes cheating? And can you be friends with your ex? I'm Tara Llewellyn. You may know me from Gilmore to Say, a Gilmore Girls podcast. Join me as I revisit this beloved series with some of my favorite New Yorkers and closest friends as we bring Carrie's column to life and answer her questions from each episode of Sex and the City in my new weekly podcast, And Just Like Her.
You know, another thing we wanted to talk to you about is you've talked a lot about caring for your parents now and this idea of like the sandwich generation, like being a mom to young children and also having to kind of mother your parents now in their older age.
Are you guys there yet?
No, we're on our way, though.
Yeah.
We'll Dude, nobody talks about this. Nobody told me that. I mean, this is such a shocking turn of events for me. I think I was so focused on like the kids and getting through that. Like the thought that I would then have to be the main caretaker for my parents. I always knew that that was going to be my role, you know, as the oldest Asian daughter in a family, you know, but I don't think I could. I don't think anyone can comprehend what it's like when you're there. I would say now I spend way more of my energy emotionally and kind of like time-wise dealing with my parents than I even do with my own kids. My kids are now like, they're going to their friends' houses. They have other things going on, after school stuff. Like, but I'm constantly with my parents, dealing with something in the house, dealing with their insurance company, dealing with their doctor's appointments, getting groceries. I mean, it's really, really intense.
I mean, in America, at least, it's not as common as in other cultures traditionally to take care of the elders. You know, we might send our parents to nursing homes or whatever. They move to retirement communities. But I mean, is there a sense that you get from them that there's an expectation of care, or do you think that they feel like a burden sometimes?
It's both. The expectation of like, I mean, I'm at this point, you know, grocery shopping and providing most of my parents' meals. So like, you know, there may be days where I'm like, Mom, I'm not going to be there in time, you know, for dinner, but I will drop off the food. You guys have something, you know, just to tide you over. Like, how hungry are you? Like, I need to feed the kids first, and then I will drop off your dinner. And, you know, it's like, I'm sure she's like, well, I wish I would have known sooner because I'm sitting here starving. But at the same time, like, I cannot believe that I'm at this stage in my life where I cannot cook for myself. You know, my parents had restaurants their whole life. Like, my mother has only worked in a kitchen. She worked in a cafeteria when she first moved here, and then they eventually saved enough money to have a little deli spot. Like, my mother has only cooked her whole life and can no longer really cook for herself. And so it's both. I think that there's an expectation and there is like such an immense amount of guilt. Both of those are terrible feelings to sit in, and both of those feelings create such a like emotional barrier between my parents and I on just like a daily basis. You know, if there isn't disappointment, then there's guilt, and neither one of those are cuddly feelings of like, let's just hang out, you know. And so I don't know what the relationship will become. You know, like when I lived in New York and I would come home, you know, every holiday or whatever, it was like a fun time. You know, I hadn't seen my parents for a while. We missed each other. We would plan on doing things. And now I see them every single day. Like, nobody wants to see each other. Like,
yeah.
Just right. Like, drop it off in the driveway and zoom on out.
Yes.
Like, yes. And I'm sure they feel terrible for even thinking that. But I'm also thinking like, dude, I want to hang out with you. I just want to drop off the casserole and I got to feed my kids. I got laundry, you know. So it's a really weird relationship right now. It's draining. It's all this and da-da-da-da-da, and I resent. I still show up every single day with a hot meal. I still clean the toilets. I still take them to the... Do you know what I mean? Because I think that we set this version up of ourselves where, like, if you're not doing all those things, with like a merry attitude and a blowout and like the perfect, you know, outfit. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Then it's like, you're gross. You're disgusting. You're a terrible, you know, whatever it is, however way we talk to ourselves and judge ourselves. I have enough work with even the work that I've done as a parent to know that, like, even though I feel this way, you know, when my parents pass, I don't think I'll have regrets.
And that's the important part.
Yeah. God, that's beautiful. Knowing that maybe this is the way, maybe this is the way that we are able to pay them back for the feeling of sacrifice that we know on their end.
And it's not perfect. It's not perfect. But you did it. And you did it the best way that you could. And you were there. You won. And so I think that giving myself that grace as a mother, which was the hardest pill to swallow, this almost seems like, oh, I know how to do this. I remember now. Do you think that when our kids, I kind of know the answer to this as I'm asking the question genuinely, because I think about this a lot, because I think about, like, what am I going to be like when my kids are adults? Like, am I going to be this scared? Am I going to be this confused? Am I not going to know how to use my phone? Like, I can't imagine, sure, who knows, they'll be wearing Google glasses and driving flying carpets. And I'll be looking for a key. Like, I get that. Okay. I understand that on an intellectual level. But, like, do you think that some of this work will have awakened something in us?
I really hope so. I mean, I don't know, but I feel like we're a little bit more easily adaptable than, like, our parents, I hope. I'll tell you what, I do hope that I am moving to the college town that my kids go to.
As you're saying that, and I cannot believe that I didn't link this together. So I've been trying to encourage my kids, who I realize are only 9 and 11, but I'm like, guys, you can go to college, not in this country. You can go to a college somewhere else, and it'll be a fraction of the price. So I'm like grilling it in, right? Like, you can art school in Canada. You can go to art school in England. You could go to, you know, any of these things. You don't have to go to college here, right? As I'm looking at my nieces, she's a freshman at college, and that bill it's insane. It's insane. So I just kind of been talking about this, and, you know, it's fun because the kids at this age, you tell them something and it's the truth. It's right. Like, you can really get in there right now. I would suggest
getting like whispering in there. In their ear at night, like, getting let's go to college.
They're so impressionable. Like, I mean, the power is strong, so use it wisely, but, like, it's there. And so I told my son, who's a little bit more of, like, you know, he's the older one, and he's kind of like, I don't know if I ever want to live, you know, on my own. And I keep saying, like, I know you don't have to worry about that now, but if you were to go to college in Europe,
we could make it there.
I will move there.
Mommy's coming. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mommy's coming.
And he's so psyched. I said, if you go to college in this country, I'm not moving there. And that's not a threat. I'm just telling you facts.
It's a promise.
Because
it's not a threat. If you
go to school in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he's so pumped.
He's
like, Mom,
this.
I can't wait to go to school. Europe. I'm like, babe, like, wow, that's amazing. You know, don't tell your dad I told you that.
It's honestly the smartest parenting advice.
And, you know, my kids don't have phones or, you know, the social media. And so as a treat sometimes, I'll let them, because I'll save. Do you guys save, like, funny videos for your kids? Like, are your kids too young?
Kind of. Well, my kids are 5 and 3. Sabrina has 2 and 4, yeah.
Well,
we can still show them. We show them plenty that they shouldn't see, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. So I have a whole folder in my Instagram thing of just, like, kid stuff, but, like, it's like a channel, right? I'm like, things I know as I'm scrolling, I'm like, oh my God, my kids would love that. Guess what's peppered in the, like, the funny diving videos and weird cat videos is
the Alps.
Switzerland.
It's the Alps. I knew it was going to be something.
Switzerland is giving full scholarships to international students. And there's a very easy application process. And I said, save.
Yeah. Start filling it out now.
Honestly, now that is parenting advice I can take. I can actually take that in and start practicing it immediately.
Well, how fun would it be to go for 4 years to like Italy or Spain? Your kid's like in college, whatever. You see him maybe once a week.
It's a dream.
And then you're just like there, like hanging out. Oh,
that would absolutely be
the best. And people are like,
what a dedicated
mother you are. Finally, my flowers.
Yes.
Do it now.
Best advice I've heard a long, long time.
What is something from your mom's parenting that you're adding to cart for your life that you have added to cart and will continue to add to cart?
The thing I'm adding to my cart from my mother is my mother. When I tell you she will roll up her sleeves, she will set aside her hokas, and she will fight anyone in the street, anytime, anywhere. Bring it on. Should you say one bad thing about either of her children, come meet her in the middle of the street. She, no questions asked, say no more, she's there. And so it's only happened a few times where I'll, you know, say something and I'm like, yeah, and then this happened, and she just is like, and I see it and I'm like, yes.
Yeah, yes.
Yes. And I have the same. I mean, when my girl comes to me and she says, I didn't get invited to this birthday party. And I said, you know what we're going to do? I am having a revenge party for my gal. I
love this.
And I told her, I was like, no, this is, you know, like, and I'm trying to frame it in a way like, well, let's do something fun ourselves.
Yeah. Let's not call it revenge. But we're going to. Okay.
It's so different. No, the marketing. It's all in the marketing.
It's all
and
in
how
the
market.
As you know. It's all in the market.
So here I am now. I've got a tab open on trying to figure out who to invite and who
not to invite. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know.
Remove those people from your life and your cart. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a great thing.
I think that another piece of excellent advice that I didn't know we were going to get.
Yeah. Terrible advice.
Two things I've learned today I'm going to take with me for the rest of my life, and I'll contact you in about 10 or 20 years when it doesn't work out, but...
Well, the connection, I hope, in Switzerland is strong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll see you there.
It doesn't matter if our kids are going or yours are. We have a connection to the land.
Now we'll be there, for sure.
So, Jen, you are sensational, and I adore you.
You guys, I am sweating through my pores. I'm laughing so hard. That was so fun.
Thank you for coming and spending time with us today.
Of course, you guys.
I had
so much
fun.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was our conversation with journalist and co-host of the podcast Add to Cart, Suchin Pak.
Now, honey, as you know, I've been courting Suchin on Instagram.
Well, yes, of course.
So I DM'd her after our interview to just like say thank you. I had the time of my life. Also, hey, do you think it would be prudent of us to just go ahead and lock in a timeshare in Switzerland? And then I started second guessing myself after I hit send. And I said, why can't I ever just be cool? Like thinking maybe she's not going to reply to this, or she's going to see it and be like, this woman's crazy. But she wrote back. Suchin wrote back, sending a video of magical Swiss train rides in winter, and captioned it, us visiting our kids at college, hashtag Switzerland 2035.
Oh, I can't wait.
Is that the best?
Yes.
So that's where we're headed.
That's where we're going.
That's the future.
I'm Sabrina Kohlberg.
And I'm Andy Mitchell. Thanks for listening.
Next week on Pop Culture Moms, we'll talk to Dina Margolin and Kristen Gallen of Big Little Feelings about our favorite cartoon moms and how to navigate the ups and downs of parenting toddlers.
And where are the ups of parenting toddlers?
Not sure. Pop Culture Moms is a production of ABC Audio in partnership with Good Morning America, hosted by me, Sabrina Kohlberg.
And me, Andy Mitchell.
Our show is produced by Camille Peterson, Asala Sanipour, Sabrina Kohlberg, and me.
Music by Evan Viola.
Special thanks to Emily Schutz, Susie Liu, Josh Cohan, Ariel Chester, Liz Alessi, and Simone Swink, the executive producer of GMA.
Laura Mayer is the executive producer of podcasts for ABC Audio.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.